Welcome to the Debrief Podcast.
With me, Stevie.
And me, Tessa Coates.
This is how we'll be talking for the rest of our lives.
Just really soft and gentle, easing you into the week.
You're very good at that. You sound like an actual person. Like, I sound like I'm doing a voice.
Do I sound like I'm doing ASMR? That thing
on... Oh, ASMRS.
That thing on the YouTube where they say...
And it was like...
I'm just touching... No...
That is part of it.
That is one of them, but I am in a special other group where I just say, I'm touching your face. I'm putting on your...
It's absolutely horrible, isn't
it?
Because sometimes you think, what if I've accidentally flipped into that on the bus or whatever?
The point being is that what we were talking about and what Tessa was doing with the, oh, I'm brushing my hair now.
Your hair, got to brush you. It's all about
your
brushing
hair,
your hair.
Is that, and the reason I was going, is because there's this craze on YouTube and also SoundCloud and things like that of people really being interested in listening to like noises, the noises of someone brushing their hair, the noises of someone very close, I guess, clearing their throat, making the spit go around their mouth, trying to give yourself goosebumps by listening to something really weird. I don't understand it as a concept.
I think it's called SSMR.
No, it's definitely AS.
ASSMR.
The USSR.
It's in the USSR. Yeah. It's very specific. It was the only good thing to come out of the Soviet Union.
Yeah, I did a feature on it for the debrief. So look it up. But I can't remember what it's called. We
but
are
it
currently
is
both without internet, so we can't.
We're in an internet hole. We're having an absolute nightmare.
Yes.
So join us. Get in the cave with us. Yeah. Get in the cave with us, because today we will be talking about feminism.
Well, yes, but we're also talking about how to talk about feminism,
because we've just had International Women's Day, and when a big event like that happens, there is so much on Twitter of what we'll call ignorant folk.
Yes.
Ignorant men. It's mostly men.
Isn't it?
Mostly men. Just shouting things into the ether and sort of arguing quite aggressively. A lot of it is like, not as International Men's Day. Yes, there is. Thank you for asking.
Yes, great.
And also, it's International Men's Day. It's the 19th of November. But if you look at like Google Analytics, the amount that International Men's Day is talked about on International Women's Day in comparison to how much it's talked about on International Men's Day is like 1/10.
Because
men would rather jump into something else
and be combative.
Yeah.
I actually think that there should be way more around International Men's Day.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
There's so much to talk about, you know, the suicide rates and often the inability to talk to people about their problems. And there's this whole thing about, like, you know, even just going to a doctor, men are much more likely to let a medical problem go past the point of no return than a woman is, because a woman's like, I'm in pain, I'm going to go to a doctor. And a man's like, I'm in pain, I guess this is what being a man is, I'll suck it up.
Yeah.
And then, and obviously this is just a massive generalization.
Pint or something?
Excuse me?
That was me shouting. Do you want another pie or something?
Drink through it.
To
work
crush over
it.
My pain, yeah. For example, like on Mother's Day, nobody says like, where's bloody Father's Day? Everyone's like, it's Father's Day. Like,
yes.
Everyone knows, no one gets upset.
Yeah.
Whereas because International Men's Day is not a celebrated big day.
I think women should celebrate International Men's Day.
That's, I think, a huge part of it. Like, there wouldn't be people saying like, what is it? Do you hate, you know, all those questions and that upset if they... their own day was supported and celebrated.
I think on International Men's Day, you know how like on International Women's Day, this is so off topic, I'm so sorry, but like International Women's Day...
Everything's on topic.
Everything is so on topic. Thank you so much for that reassurance.
You're so welcome.
I need a lot of it. I've got cystitis.
And she's terribly hungover.
There's that as well. the two are related.
She's in the eye of a perfect storm.
A real storm. I just want to get into a bath immediately. On International Women's Day, there's a lot of, I found actually almost pressure to post pictures of all the women in my life and be like, here's some wonderful women in my life.
Yeah, absolutely.
But actually I've got too many friends, but I do have a lot of people that I would like to. And I was like, well, if I don't include them, then I've got to include these people. I'm going to just stop this and just be like, I celebrate all women. Where on International Men's Day, I think women should post pictures of the great men that they're friends with who are like wonderful and like of their lives. But we don't have that pressure to do that, because you don't feel like, well, everyone else is doing it because no one's doing it.
Yeah.
So then we're not celebrating men. And then we wonder why men get quite defensive. A lot of men get quite defensive when we talk to them about feminism, because they're like, oh God, because it's something inbuilt of them. They're not particularly being appreciated sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're often being demonized. And even the really lovely men that I talk to about feminism, at some point in our long relationships, there's been a point where they felt I'm picking on them. Or like, I'll say something like, well, you know, you wouldn't really understand because you're a man.
Mm.
And there are so many things that they don't understand because they're men. They will never know the true feeling and what it feels like here when you're alone walking down the street, because they just don't have that in the dark. I should be very specific with that. I can walk down the street by myself. That's fine. But I mean, like, yeah, yes. They may know about it and they may understand it and they may go, that's awful, but they don't feel it because they've never felt that feeling. And so I think it's a perfectly valid thing to say to a man, like, well, you don't understand because you're a man. But it's not a nice thing to say, because then they feel like, well, hang on. So now you're saying that I'm one of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think that's the problem about talking about feminism. You have to be so careful that you don't isolate people and make people feel, you know, that they're immediately in the wrong just by being born a man or being or not understanding. And then the other side of that being, well, the emotional labour of doing that, why do I need to, like, pussyfoot around? Like, and a lot of people hate doing
it. It's a very, very tricky.
But I think it's a human thing, not a gender thing. And it should always, these things should always come down to a human thing. If you're talking to somebody that doesn't understand about anything, do you, A, just, like, barrel through and make them feel bad? Or do you sit with them and try and explain and make them feel like they're included and try and get them to understand? So it doesn't actually, so it's not about, like, being horrible to men or being nice to men. It's literally just about, like, being a human, a nice, caring human, and being like, well, you don't understand. So let's do it in a way that you will.
Yeah.
And hopefully this podcast will help you.
For God's sake.
And me.
God. Yes, that this is what this podcast will do.
I need to stop crying about Claire Foy. You're not getting paid as much as Matt Smith in The Crown.
Oh, God. Look, we're getting to that.
God,
first
I
of all.
So defensive. Right, sorry.
She's full of cystitis, everyone.
Riddled with it.
Absolutely riddled with the stuff.
What's the adult thing you've done
this
week?
For goodness sake. Mine's so good.
Okay. You come in with such confidence in the adult things, and I'm always like, I suppose mine is a pile of shit. You're always like, mine's excellent. I'm nailing it. Maybe you shouldn't be doing the podcast if you're already an adult.
Yeah.
That was mean.
Yeah, well, last week I cried because they wouldn't let me into circus school, so so I don't know if I'm nailing it.
I think you are. Right, go on.
I was late and I cried at reception. It's so bleak.
Do you think when you become a real adult, you stop crying at things that afterwards you're like, I'm really embarrassed about crying about that. Like when
I don't know when the crying will end.
Right.
Mine is that I made my own lunch.
That's great.
Thank you so much.
What was it?
You won't believe.
Wow. It was a whale.
Pan fried, bit of halloumi, whale. Can you believe that, Stevie?
Yeah, I'm going to prove that. Pop a whale on it.
Pop a whale on that. It wasn't very close. It was a red Thai curry.
Ah! My mouth went open enough.
I know. I could, as was mine when I was both eating it and I was on the bus being like, guys!
Did you eat it at like 10 a.m.?
100%. I ate it on the bus leaving my house. I rushed out. I was really late. I rushed out the door on the bus. 9:30, ate my lunch. Yeah.
Well, no one tells you about that stage.
Yeah.
And when you've
carrying the lunch with you.
Yeah, you're like, so you're just like, it's like food.
I'll have it now, I guess.
Like, no, yeah.
It's absolutely delicious.
It's really great.
I blew my own mind. I made it last night.
Did you have it for dinner and then you had leftovers?
No, I actually didn't even have it for dinner. Because I wasn't...
Yeah.
I wasn't particularly hungry. This is a new thing for me. I'm like not super hungry at the moment. And I had like a bit of cracker and that was fine. I actually ate too many eggs. And then I ate the topping of my housemate's carrot cake. And so I bet a bit too much of that. And then too much eggs and topping. Had too much egg and topping, and then dinner wasn't for me. And
mine is a hack that someone told me about, and I just started doing it. And then I casually mentioned it to someone, and they were like, oh my God, you've blown my mind. And
wow.
I got WhatsApps being like, I've just done the thing that you told me, and it's amazing.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
So, frozen bird's eye potato waffles. I know it doesn't sound like it's promising.
Bird's eye potato waffles.
Were not a thing in my life.
No.
When I was little, school dinners, we'd have like mini waffles.
My favourite food day on a Friday.
Yes. Sometimes smileys, potato smileys, that was fun.
Oh, good stuff.
But since then, like, my parents didn't really buy them.
No.
I think if they'd have known that that's what I was eating at school dinner, they may have not allowed me to eat school dinner, because they're very much like healthy food. It was just like last year, I was hungover. Someone was like, oh, you should have eggs on potato waffles. And I was like, yes, I want a potato waffle. Like, that's all I want. And so now they're like a staple.
Mm.
But the only thing is, you've got to grill them, and that's a bit annoying. You put them in the toaster, they are done to perfection within 5 minutes.
Holy shit.
It has changed my snack game. It's changed everything. So this morning, I was so hungover that I couldn't breathe or talk, but I was able to make myself 4 potato waffles.
In the toaster?
In the toaster.
Mind-blowing.
So I would urge everyone to try it at least once. It's amazing. Right, so anyway, that's my adult thing. Is it an adult thing? Yes, it is.
Yes, it sounds incredible.
It's time-saving. It's all about time-saving.
And it's self-care.
It's self-care. right. Okay, let's crack on with feminism.
Absolutely.
With feminism.
Kind of some bloody feminism.
And how to talk about it.
Yes, because the reason I wanted to do a one that was how to talk about feminism is that, and I'm sort of doing some blanket assumptions that the average listener is either like, yes, of course, or is like, yes, shrug.
About feminism?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please get in touch
if you're
ardently against it. I genuinely would like to talk. So somebody had tweeted in as a question, if more women are included in the boardroom purely because of their gender, are they then therefore there because of numbers rather than merit?
Yes.
And do you therefore have
that wasn't a yes. That was like,
yes,
I understand.
And are they therefore, do you therefore have a less efficient boardroom?
It's very interesting. It's
to
a
which
very,
I
very interesting
was
point.
Immediately a sort of, it wasn't, obviously it wasn't asked to me. I was reading it
sure,
through the phone. I was in no way involved in this.
But you went white hot.
But as we know, I live in the very present. And I lived it. I lived it as though that yes. question was asked to me on the stage. And I felt like a white hot panic. And I felt immediately like, get rid of the women, for God's sake. Like that was my... Get them out of the boardroom.
Women out of the workplace,
get
please.
Get them out. They can't be there. I think often if you've probably, I would say, and this is not specifically feminism, but maybe anything that you care passionately about, that you've come down on the opposing side as somebody that either is a stranger in the pub or that you've happened to have a good conversation with or is someone close
worse,
to you.
Or worse, someone's quite close to you and you're like, oh no.
Or is your partner or a relative or something. Someone's asked a very erudite, eloquent question and you've been totally floored by it.
I've started crying.
They'll be like, no, I guess I'll change to your side.
I suppose I'm not a feminist now.
I guess
and then
I...
dissolve into a mist.
Yeah. So we want to sort of talk about some of the main questions that come up.
Yes.
And therefore, and talk around them so we feel more prepared.
Yes.
For next time.
And also just like in general, how to talk about it. Someone said something to me very similarly, in fact, exactly the same vibe about diversity in comedy, being like, are people now just being put in these positions,
yes.
fast-tracked up because they're black, because they're Asian, not because they are the funniest or the best person for the mm-hmm. job. Similarly, it was like, have you seen the film Airplane, when he's trying to land the plane and it keeps going back to him and he's like got sweat and then it comes back to him and he's got so much water on him, just like spraying water up his head. It was like that. What's good about those sorts of questions is that if they come up, like, for example, you just having a look on Twitter and you've like engaged in a question, rather than just being like, ah, now you're able to like sit with it and formulate what you think about it.
Yes.
So that when it comes up in the future, you just need to always know what your opinion is on these things, I think is the most important thing, really. Like to have an opinion, even if that opinion is, I don't know. Like yeah. if you like really think about it and you're like, I actually don't know how to answer that. Like I don't know what the solution is. What do you think the solution is then?
Yes.
Because then that's a conversation. Because the thing with like diversity, whether that is gender or otherwise, I feel, my opinion is, which I'll just say, is that there's always going to be other sides to getting more women in the workplace, getting more people of colour on TV, all of that. There's always going to be another side, which is that point of mm-hmm. being like, well, hang on, so now it's not a meritocracy. It's been such not a meritocracy for so long.
Yes.
Weighted the other way that I don't think that's the point we should be focusing on.
Yes.
It's like, it's almost like, not for now.
Yes.
Hold that thought for another decade.
Yeah.
And if we're still doing that, then we need to re-look at
I think the meritocracy thing is exactly it. When you say like, well, if those women are here to make up the numbers rather than for merit, then they're inherently less good than the men who are already here, implies that those men are definitely here because they're the best
yes.
rather than these are men who went to school with the
right people.
Right people.
Yeah.
Or who inherently, especially in like white, straight men, you've implied that every man in every single women's
system deserves to be there.
It deserves to be there.
Yeah.
And I think that's the inherent like straw
that's
man
the flaw.
in the
yeah.
argument.
Yeah.
Do you see how I use the word straw man?
I noticed it, but I didn't want to stop.
I didn't want to engage.
I didn't want to draw attention to it because I just wanted it to look like that's just like a thing you just say.
Absolutely. Thank you. I learned it in critical thinking GCSE.
Excellent. That's great. Yes, I agree. And when someone says that, I think the like this isn't the time now to be worried about that. We need to get to the tipping point where
yes.
people are more used to having women in the boardroom. People are more used to having female voices. And in a way, really, who cares? If that's the problem that you have,
yep.
you found this problem, surely the bigger picture is that there aren't any in there.
Yes.
So get them in
yeah.
and then everything will balance itself out.
And then the women who aren't good,
once we've got like a situation where there are just as many female CEOs as male CEOs, there is just as many, it's more of a mix, then it becomes a meritocracy because then the problem of like gender almost like slowly fades
yeah.
because people are just used to it. Whereas
yeah.
at the moment, the problem is they're not in there.
Yes.
So it's that thing of like, well, if that's what that's the argument that you're choosing to have, you're just choosing an argument that is almost moot and irrelevant. What's the alternative? To keep it as it is.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Like, this is what we've... And I think that's so important. Like, when the BBC introduced that rule that was like, it's compulsory to have one woman on every panel show. And everyone
yeah,
was
like
well, then you're
in.
Just... What? Then she's only there because she's making up the woman's place. Like, yeah, however she got there, like, let's just... Fine, and we'll reassess this one in a year. Like, just put her on it. Just have it so that when you watch the television, you're not watching eight white men having
yeah.
a conversation, however funny.
And
you
I remember
know, that
a friend of ours...
seeing yourself represented.
Yeah, you're seeing yourself... Yeah, that is just... That is such a huge thing, and that is such a... It's not just on TV.
And again, that seeing yourself represented, the majority of those women that have made it there are going to be white, educated,
yes.
you know, and so that... You know, we need to push that seeing yourself everywhere thing so that everybody does see themselves.
Yeah, so then you can start having dreams and having like, because you've seen, when I first like heard or really thought about that whole like, you can't dream what you haven't seen
yeah.
sort of thing.
If you can see it, you can do it.
If you can see it, you can do it. You know, I was like, okay, fine. And then when I really thought about
yeah.
it, I was like, that's had such a massive impact on my life. When I was younger, we were at uni. We were in a university sketch group, the Durham Review. Check them out. They still go to Edinburgh every year and they're excellent. And now it's changed. But at the time, there was like eight of us and me and my friend Liz. I had a lovely time in it, but I never once considered comedy as a thing that I would be able to do.
Yeah.
Because when I looked up, it was all men.
Yeah.
And it was such a subconscious thing. And then the moment I saw three girls doing a sketch show in Edinburgh, I was like... Oh my God, why haven't I thought to do this? And then me and Tessa and our friend Liz went for a drink and then we started writing together. And I wouldn't have done that if I hadn't have seen these three girls already doing it. I'm using the comedy industry, but you can say that about anything. For years, a banker was a white man in a suit with a briefcase. Like you're looking at people who are around you and what they're doing in all the TV shows. They're always depicted as like straight, white, rich men. And so like, how would you ever go like, yeah, I guess I'll get in on that. Like, you just wouldn't because it's like, that's not for me.
Do you want to know something heartwarming?
Oh my God, yes, please.
I only auditioned for the Durham Review because I saw you and Liz do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Tessa was in the sketch group the year after. I didn't know that. That's
yeah,
really cool.
If they'd been just boys, there's no way I would have ever
yeah.
crossed my mind.
Intimidating is the wrong word. Just a subconscious,
yeah,
you
yeah,
are
this
the other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You have so much more to prove now walking into the room.
Yes, but. And that is across the board, including just every profession, even in like the women's magazine industry, obviously predominantly women, but all of the media houses are owned by men. All of the real decisions come from men.
Yeah, it's such a thing of privilege that you... Exactly the same thing as like walking down the street. Like if you've never felt... that fear, or if you have only ever seen yourself represented, then
yeah.
it's never occurred to you what anybody else has
thought.
Of course
not.
So, like, for example, when we look at things, when we look at a thing of all the world leaders at the UN, and there are in a room of 70 people, three women, that's very clear to us. But if you then ask me, like, how many black people were in the room, I would have to be like, oh, I don't know. I didn't notice. I don't know. I didn't notice.
Yes.
Because you're
bringing your own...
That you're only ever seeing from your own frame of reference. And I think we're really waking up to the idea of, like, seeing it from everybody else's perspective. Like,
yeah.
There are so many videos at the moment of, like, people talking about Black Panther, the amazing superhero movie, and how all these sort of black adults talking about, like, how they've never... What it's like to be able to...
It gives me goosebumps reading. There was this like picture of this little black girl, but dressed as one of the characters at the premiere or a screening. It was like when Ghostbusters came out. I actually didn't like the Ghostbusters all female reboot. Didn't think it was necessary. But there was a lovely photo of a little girl dressed up as a Ghostbuster. Yeah. And you're like, there's something like that gives me like real chills.
Not all the films have to be amazing. No, you don't all have to be incredible.
No, they just like, have to be
you
there.
Can have your own opinions about the Ghostbusters female movie, but if it affects a little girl and she thinks now she can go on and do things, then it's a good thing.
It's always a good thing. It's not occurred to me how white the superheroes are.
Yeah.
Because I'm not bringing
it only,
that.
It's only
I'm a white
occurred
person.
To you how male the superheroes
how
are.
How male they are, because that annoys me. There are so many kind of battles that we need to keep fighting. And it's so nice to have it broadened out like this. And the whole concept of intersectional feminism, it sometimes can be frightening to talk about when you're not... Because it's not something that you have grown up feeling in your gut, because I've just grown up in a very white area.
Yeah.
I will bring things to the table that are problematic just because of my background and my upbringing. And I'm already hot talking about it.
Can I discuss something there on your use of the phrase intersectional feminism?
Yes.
It's not a thing. That's not a phrase. And I was called up on this myself.
Okay. I'm very sorry.
No, please.
Oh, God, have I just been awfully racist?
You've been horrifyingly racist. Okay. You need to leave. It's not I thought it was intersectional feminism as a way of looking at it. It's not. It's and in within feminism, there is almost infinite list of types of feminism, like liberal feminism, radical feminism, etc. Intersectionality within feminism is the expression. And so intersectionality is... understanding that other things intersect your interpretation of feminism.
Right, okay. So you can be intersectional about anything.
Yes, you can be intersectional about anything.
Okay.
You can bring intersectionality into anything.
Great,
And it's like you need to bring it into feminism to understand that everyone is coming from a different place.
Okay.
So like a great example is about like... women getting the vote that we recently celebrated 100 years of, and everyone's
not
like,
all
the
women.
It's like, it wasn't all the women. It's not working class women. It's not women from this uneducated
women.
It's not black women. It's not this. It's like in America, only white women were given the vote for years and years and years before black women were allowed to vote. Like, so it's understanding that all that wealth, education, class, sexuality, ableism, if you're able-bodied or not, all of those things intersect your own personal viewpoint.
Yes. God, that's very interesting.
But I 100% thought it was intersectional feminism.
Me too.
And question.
Yes.
Why do we still need feminism?
Yeah.
Do you hear my voice?
Yeah.
Did you like it? My response is, what's your relationship like with your mother and do you want to discuss it? I think what you were saying before about like, I think it's a super combative to respond with like, what an interesting question. And absolutely, you're absolutely right. It is a tricky, and we all are finding
and
our feet in
this
area.
That's one of my points that I wanted to say about talking about feminism.
Like, fuck you.
Is to consistently try all the time. And I know it's hard. And I know like as well, there's this argument for emotional labor and why should we have to keep educating these people? Why is it down to us? I personally believe it's so important to ask questions and not be afraid of being shouted at and being like, well, why do I have to educate you?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I know it must be very tiring, and I'm one of the more privileged women on this planet. So if I was one of the less privileged, I'm consistently having to deal with it all the time. I imagine it'd be exhausting.
Yes.
So I wanted to make that point that I'm not saying emotional labor is like a bad argument. I'm just saying like it's something that is directly related to your privilege almost. Like the more privileged you are, the less you really have to educate people. So the less annoying emotional labor is.
Yes.
But I do think when someone asks you a question, you have to try immediately to not be defensive. That was my original point.
Yes.
Because I'm so defensive. There's this defensiveness that we have because it's emotional for us, and it's not, like you said before, if you haven't experienced it, you can't really be fully emotional about it.
Yes, absolutely.
So yeah, that question, why do we still need feminism? You want to just punch someone.
Yes.
Because it's like, just list facts, but you need to stay, like you just did a great impression of being like, that's an interesting question.
Okay. And so you might be like, okay, engage. I can understand how maybe in your sphere, you are only surrounded by powerful, strong women that you... They're like, all the women I know are really powerful and getting on with their day. Absolutely. And that's wonderful. well done them. Well, my response to them would be just like some facts. And even if you in your own personal sphere are not experiencing it, it is undeniable that it's happening around the world.
And crucially, not just with this question, with any question to do with feminism, when you're talking to somebody about it, I think it's very important to use facts.
Yeah.
Because then you are never accused of just being emotional about it, which will make you then
any
explode.
So yeah, go for any area or topic that you feel passionate about, and go and research it and know what you're talking about. Because the thing that you generally think is correct, but it's so much more powerful if you can back it up with some statistics. So currently, this is from the UN, women with full-time jobs still only earn 77% of their male counterparts' earnings. African-American women earn 64 cents and Latina women earn 56 cents for every dollar earned by a Caucasian man in America. Mm. 62 million girls are denied an education all over the world. Every year, an estimated 15 million girls under 18 are married. 4 out of 5 victims of human trafficking are girls. Like, go and find whatever one it is that, like, appeals to you or doesn't, and just be like, here's a fact. Here you go.
Yes.
Even if it's just this one fact, that feels enough reason.
I can't do this for all of those facts, but with the gender pay gap thing, a very common response to that is, well, you know, it's men just have the higher paid jobs in those companies. They are higher up. And a lot of these companies who have had to declare their pay, that's their defence.
Yeah.
And that defence, similarly to, Mark Wahlberg is a bigger star. Well, with The Crown and Claire Foy and Matt Smith had done Doctor Who, Claire Foy had done Wolf Hall, which wasn't as big. It all goes back to, yes, because historically the system is sexist. The reason that the men have all of the higher paid jobs in those companies is because for years those roles have only been given to men, and that is a problem. It's not a meritocracy, and it never was. I was doing this thing about the history of what we call our vaginas, and very quickly realised it wasn't what we call our vaginas, it's what men called our vaginas, because of course all of the recorded nicknames are in literature, culture, theatre, plays, whatever, all written by men. And when I was talking to an academic about it, he said, yes, but in the 18th century there were lots of books with female characters. And I was like, yes, and they were written by men.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, but they're still written for women. And you're like, they're written by men, mate. Like, I'm not saying that men can't write women. Like, doesn't matter. It's still from the prism of a man. And language is, you know, kind of often been like tossed aside as like, that's not the real problem. And you're like, actually, it kind of is. It's symptomatic of how much power and control men have had for so long. And that little thing feeds into everything. It does feed into jobs. It feeds into the CEO who's a man is more likely to hire someone like him rather than diversify. So then it just keeps happening. So if someone comes back to you about those gender pay gaps, starts with some sort of bullshit, you know, like, it's not actually the full story. It's like, what you're still saying.
So you say, yes, absolutely, not the full story, but let's look at that whole story, because the whole story looks pretty corrupt.
Yeah, the whole story is sexist.
Let's look at the whole thing. I think what you're saying about vagina language is just so important and good.
Thank you.
You're so
all
welcome.
Of the penis words are things like named after like swords and guns and like really just like bigging it up. Yeah. And all of the vagina ones are either horrifying to show a kind of fear from men of the vagina, or always in relation to the man's experience with the vagina.
Yeah. And also, we don't discover the egg until really recently in history. And so, therefore, up until that point, it's completely understandably, it just feels like an oven, like a one-party oven that you put in some sperm and an egg. A baby comes out of what you've made. So this.
So they thought their dick was making the baby.
You're literally a magic, it's literally a magic baby-making wand, as opposed to being two parties.
Yeah.
Like doing a thing. And equally about like women, there not being any women writers writing about anything, that you know, you first discover about periods, then you sort of discover like, what did they do in the past?
Yeah.
And it's like such a confusing area, and like no one really has any solid information.
No one wrote it down.
Because nobody wrote it down. And they did this huge study into all the letters that they could find that had been sent for people doing the crossing into America, like when people were in the stage wagons, you know, looking for gold and stuff and like finding a new land. So like people were writing to each other constantly to be like, bring more socks, or like, we've got the plague, don't come, or whatever. And constantly saying like what we needed or what to bring. And like women were writing these like extensive lists, and they cannot find a single reference to periods anywhere.
That's
they can't.
Just so sad.
It's just like women just like didn't. It was not something that spoke about. And so they have literally no idea what women were doing because they've got no written record of it.
I mean, that as an anecdote, I think is a great riposte to pretty much anyone questioning whether you need feminism. Like, you know, it's like, well, oh, well,
and then
years,
you say, like, well, excuse me, but we're not crossing the great American outback anymore.
And you go,
like,
yes, and we're still taxed on it.
We're still reaping the repercussions of that time.
Of course we are.
Everyone's like, we've moved on enough. It's like, we've moved on loads. No one's doubting that, but we are.
Yeah. Also, and like another very similar to that, good thing to point out if people don't believe in feminism is that is kind of irrefutable is things like the pill and things like how we deal with PMS, how
the menopause,
not, the menopause,
HRT,
absolutely, HRT, all these things have for years, cystitis, for years gone completely. Essentially, if these were all male things, we would have so much more sophisticated medicine, so much more research will have gone into it. Because while all of that research is happening now, and that's great, for decades, for hundreds of years, only men have been scientists. Only men have been looking into this. So of course we've got very, very sophisticated Viagra.
We don't have the internet in our cave, but please go and look up the money that has been spent researching and developing Viagra in comparison to what has been researched
it's
and spent onto a menopausal HRT.
Yeah, it's astonishing. And it's that, again, is another irrefutable piece of evidence to use in a discussion about feminism, because all of these things, one of my favourite phrases as well, when... because I'm trying to have points that could be used for any question. And one of the things that I find myself saying is these things don't exist in a vacuum. So like, yes, we're talking about the gender pay gap and why there are no women in the boardroom. That is not a singular thing that is not affected by everything else around it. Bringing in lots of different facts about different elements of why we need feminism is a perfectly logical argument. And people will often say, well, that's not what we were talking about. We were actually talking about women in the boardroom. Why are you now bringing all this stuff about periods? You're like, because...
Why are you bringing things about periods in the 18th century? Yeah. It's not relevant, Sheila.
You're like, it is actually relevant. All of this is relevant because all of this is showing a large problem. If there was no problem with women in the workplace, it wouldn't make sense that we weren't researching the pill. Like, those two things would not exist without each other. It's all one massive big mess.
I'm obsessed with this idea called Children of the Nevada Desert. It's a thing I've made up.
Right.
It's anything you can imagine in the world being experimented on is happening somewhere in the Nevada Desert.
You have told me this.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with it. Yeah. So I think there is research facilities with children who have never known who they live very contented, happy lives, that they're well looked after.
I just want to pop in and say, the last time you told me this, I thought you were describing a TV show.
Yes, that's how I like to say it to people so they don't
think
I've gone mad. Yeah, so I pretend it's a show. What a fun idea. But the children are well looked after and having a nice time, but there are various different ones in which, like, they have no history, they have no understanding, they don't have stories, they haven't read fairy tales about princes and princesses,
they live in a full vacuum.
They literally live in an actual vacuum. And so you're like, how does a human exist genuinely in a vacuum?
Yeah.
And that is what you have to do, experiment on the children in the Nevada Desert. If anyone wants to get involved in my Kickstarter...
I don't think you should do that, but also I think that is interesting. And I think...
Because that is a vacuum.
That's, like, that's the only way you can not be affected by all of these problems. Like, how are we still in this state where it's like PMS is still such a thing, the menopause is just, like, reading things about this where you're like, Jesus, those facts you told me before are just horrible. You can have a day of it and then you go outside and then someone catcalls you and you're like, oh my God. And then they're like, well, all right, stop overreacting. You're like, I'm not reacting to this in a vacuum. I'm reacting to like everything.
And so you're often so unaware of the straws on your camel's back.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
You aren't being
the camel,
like,
thinks it's nude, but it's actually wearing a straw jumper.
Thank you, Stevie. thank God someone's saying it. it's so... And you aren't really going around me, like, adding them up. It's a total surprise to you when your camel breaks.
Yeah. Yes. And then you're just a woman with a broken camel and you're crying about feminism.
And or because they wouldn't let you into circus school.
Yeah.
But are the two connected?
I think they are.
Nothing exists in a vacuum. What final question to take us home?
Oh yeah.
What? If you call yourself a feminist? I mean, so exclusive. Why don't you call yourself a humanist or an equalist? That's what I'm for. All equal rights. If you were about equality, you would use the word equality and not use the word feminism that is so aggressive.
Oh God, I hate this. It's got it all floppy. I don't know what my response to that would be.
Again, when we begin with being like, you're so right, that's
so
a really interesting... I've gone floppy. I wonder if you'd
floppy.
Mind leaving, please. You're so right, that's such an interesting question and such an important way of looking at things.
And then I point to something and
you just
leave
point
the
at
room.
Anything else and leave the room. Yeah. That's exactly correct. So this, I think, does come up all the time, and people who like want to shy away from being feminist are like, well, I believe in equality, but I wouldn't call myself a feminist. Totally, I understand all your concerns.
Yes.
But I think...
I have good friends who say that, and when they say that... My heart breaks.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and try and convince somebody who fully believes in equal pay, loves women, supports women, and then says, yeah, but I just don't want to call myself a feminist. It's just like, why? Sorry, I interrupted you.
And it's like, so firstly, with my emotion. Like, firstly, it's like, number one, why does the name upset you so much? Like, what's your issue with language? Like, why are you so, says us, who are all like,
call the vagina something better. why have we got such a horrible name, like Willy Pocket? We don't want to call it that.
I don't want to call it a Willy Pocket
And then we're like,
anymore.
Shut up, call feminism what you like. Who cares about words?
Words are important.
And shoot me down for making such a hypocritical.
Hypocritical point. I understand that the name does have stigma.
Yes.
But it's also, it's what we call it. And that's what it's called.
When Angelina Jolie, and I want to say John Major,
had
their famous affair.
Are,
no, but it? I do think it is, no, it's John Hague. No, what is it? William Hague? It's William Hague.
William Hague did not have an affair with Angelina Jolie.
No, but they are together doing a thing with the UN, both UN ambassadors petitioning for rape to be officially classified as a weapon of war.
Right. I mean, that is so much different to when Angelina and John Major had an affair.
So those two are arguing that rape should be classified as a weapon of war, and as such, everyone should be tried for it.
And it is used like that. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And so a lot of people argued about that, being like, well, war is a weapon of war. Like, but why aren't you upset about that? And you're like, absolutely.
Yes, we are upset about that.
Yes, it is. But I think if somebody is fighting a small piece of the jigsaw,
yeah,
don't push the piece of the puzzle out of their hand because there's a bigger jigsaw. They understand the jigsaw is bigger than this piece. People, we expect everyone to take on the entire jigsaw puzzle, and then we are aggressive when people take on a...
My sister's doing this upskirting campaign because she got upskirted, and the amount of people who say, like, upskirting's nothing. Like, why aren't you dealing with rape?
Unless, when you say those things, unless you are personally a rape ambassador, unless you are personally working tirelessly every day on another piece of the jigsaw puzzle, you don't get to say anything.
Yes, that's such a great way of putting it. You don't get to say anything. You're not allowed
to. If somebody
to.
Is doing a... unquestionably good thing,
yes,
and you yourself might not agree with it, but you're not doing anything, your words are useless
be here. Quiet, because I don't think anyone who's doing a little piece of the jigsaw has ever said that to someone else doing a little piece
exactly
of the jigsaw.
Exactly right. That's when I was like, so maybe you're doing a piece and you think the other person's piece is rubbish. I'm like, I can't fathom anyone who truly thinks that.
Yeah, and if you do, then
everyone's
you're
like,
an idiot.
Cool piece,
and
you're doing a piece, I'm doing a piece.
We're making this jigsaw together.
Yeah, and maybe
I'm
you'd
a
be
caring
like,
person.
Hey, I think you're going about it a weird way and I question it, but like, cool.
Yeah.
Like, Emma Watson got called out hugely by various people who are all academics and, you know, working in feminism and more involved on the ground in a way that she isn't, just as an ambassador for the UN, and about her use of language and lots of different things. And to which she, like, really, like, learnt and was like, okay, thank you for calling me out. Absolutely, yes. Those people who had called her out were like, hey, way to go, Emma Watson. Somebody wrote this fantastic piece as a response to Emma's, who had herself criticised Emma, and now was like, hey, she's learned and she's doing her best, and then spoke to the other criticizers and was like, call her out, but walk beside her when you do it.
That's such a
lovely
which
I thought was
such
a great expression of like, absolutely do what you have to do, but make sure you're up here walking along as well.
Yes.
Make sure you're up here doing something else.
And recognise when someone has made a mistake and learns. Always recognise when someone is learning from something.
Always, and say like, hey, well done for learning and we're all trying our best here.
Yeah.
Can you please say really aggressively that it shouldn't be called feminism, it should be called humanism because it's about all people.
It should be called I got it wrong immediately. It shouldn't be called feminism. It should be called humanism because it's about all people.
Wow. Okay. That's a really, really interesting point, and you make a really good idea there. Oh. If I may, just humanism is not a word for social change or political movement as feminism is. Rather, humanism refers to several branches of philosophical and secular thinking that have origins in 13th century Renaissance thought.
Okay.
Okay, cool. Do you want to get a drink?
Yeah, I think I'd like to chat to you more.
Okay, great. So if everyone could just memorise that and bring it up.
That's great.
Because if we're all bickering about language and how we use it, like, don't be like, I'm a humanist. You're like, no, you're not. That's not what that word means.
Oh, great. That's really nice.
Yeah. And I absolutely understand. I understand it so hard because it's such a human instinct when somebody else is like, well, I'm doing this. And I was like, well, no, I want to be... I don't know if that was clear what I was expressing there.
No, but I was really like, I was quite taken with it.
It's a real like sandpit mentality of you being like, A, you don't want to be told that anything is wrong. You don't want to be part of the status quo. You don't have to change anything. Like, you don't want to have to... There's this experiment with... kids all being given roll up a piece of paper and throw it into something at the front of the classroom, and the kids at the you only got a prize if you could throw it in the basket. So all the kids at the front were just like, yeah, duh. And then all the kids at the back were like, what?
That's not
but
fair.
Of course, no kid at the front is going to turn around and be like, what about those kids at the back? Like, they got their prize. Like, it's a really human instinct to be like, why would I fight for everybody else? You're
that's
only
a great
passionate
thing about the kids, because that's also such like people start at the back.
Yeah, and so if you start at the back and you've lived there where you are entirely by chance, like that's a huge part of it. No kid at the front wants to trade, obviously, and every kid at the back is like, hello, and everyone's like, shush, we're getting things done, like, shush back there. And you're like, what?
Yeah, the idea that, some kids at the back who've got excellent aim will be able to get it in the basket, but they're the exceptions to
the
rule.
And then everyone's like, see?
See, look, you can.
Jonathan did it.
Jonathan did it, and it's like, no, just, Jonathan's a genius.
Jonathan's on the javelin team.
So like, you have to, the further back you are, the more incredible your talent has to be in order to get to where people at the front are
in
just
order to be on the same
for,
to be taken as seriously, to win then, the same prize,
and then that point of being like, see, look, he did it, so it can be done.
It can be done.
And I think that's such a great metaphor for so many of these things, so many like class problems, so many racial things, everything where you're like, you can't just hold up one example of one person who's doing it and go, well, they did it, so why can't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's really, really, I find that very powerful. I really do. I'm quite moved.
Yeah, fantastic. Mm. I also saw one, probably a poster that was like, when you're used to privilege, equality feels like oppression.
You're used to privilege, equality. Yes.
So if you've always been used to being the only...
then it feels like people are taking things away from
you're
you.
You're the only one at the buffet, but now...
There's loads of people at the
buffet. Everyone's at the buffet. You're
Hang
like,
on.
Whoa. Who's going to get the vol-au-vents? Excuse me. I used to be the only person here.
Oh, they've all run out. They didn't before. Yeah.
You're furious.
Yeah, and I think there is something to be said for really keeping that in mind. Trying so hard to keep the other person's... to be compassionate about the other person, no matter what they're doing to you, and no matter what they're saying to you. Because... there's so many problems. This is so philosophy. This is so like over the top, but I do believe it. So many issues in the world right now that have arisen from people just being like, no, this, and like not listening to any other side of the argument, getting defensive and shouting people down. And it's so binary at the moment. And so when you're talking about feminism, I think it's so important to remember not to be binary about it. And to remember that if you try and understand the other person's point of view, only good will come from that. Even if they don't respond well to that, you tried. And I think it's so important to not just write someone off because they asked a stupid question. Or like that classic thing of like, a feminist panel, and there's a man in the room, and then he asks a stupid question, and everyone goes, oh. And that's happened in a lot of panels I've been to or been on. And obviously there's some examples of men. Literally, there was one panel that was for a feminist book that had come out called Why I Call Myself a Feminist, and you should get it, it's great. And the writers were doing a panel, and literally the only man in the room put his hand up and said, do you think we still need feminism, though? And it was like this moment of like, what is wrong with you? I take exception to that, but if someone is asking a question that is not like, why do we need feminism at a feminism panel? Because obviously that's a stupid
thing. Because obviously everybody in the room thinks yes.
So even if you disagree, why are you there?
But when you ask that question in a room of 100, if you're in the room of those 99 women, you dismiss every one of them immediately with your question.
You dismiss the book. You dismiss the need for the book. You dismiss the fact that they've all travelled here today. You dismiss every element of this evening. And then you don't understand why that's a problem. But the thing I do not like is when people, men, will ask a question. And I'm trying to think of an example of a question that makes me go, oh, don't say that.
You know, do you not think men's issues are important? Like, are there not
something
some,
like that?
You know?
Yes. And it makes you go like, oh, shut the fuck up. But actually, you have to think about it and engage and see it from the angles that you've spoken about today, Tess, about like, it's hard to see your privilege when you're privileged. It's hard to see that.
Yeah, and also I think, crucially, it comes back to this really important thing about International Men's Day, that like, you only say like, a men's issue is not an issue if you yourself don't feel like there is a group fighting your corner.
Yeah.
If you don't, you only shout, when's men's day? If you don't know when your men's day is, if it isn't celebrated and acknowledged, and you only go to those panels and say like, I've got problems as well. If there is not a panel group for you, if there is not big panels of men talking about feelings, emotion, about mental health, if you don't know where those panels are and they aren't like open spaces to go to, then you go to other people's and can shout things.
And get upset that they've got it and you
because
don't.
Everyone's like, yes, 100% there are. Just like, this is a place where...
Most people, when people do that, like we've said before, you just roll your eyes and you're like, shut up. The moment, like with everything, the moment you kind of delve a little bit deeper, there's something operating there that isn't just pure... I mean, there's trolls, of course. But trolls aside, that isn't just pure hatred and pure
misogynistic. Oh my God, you must go on Twitter. This is my positive thing for the end. You must go on Twitter, look up Sarah Silverman. She's an American comic, and somebody called her the C word, like just out, sort of out. She posted like some, it's totally innocuous, like this is a cool article, or just here's a funny video of a dog. Could have been anything. He responded, you're the C word. And she replied to him and was like, hey, a lot of love coming to you. I've been on your profile. It sucks when you have back problems. And she had like seen this guy who's like a picture probably of an egg or, you know, like a
anonymous
person, gone on his thing, seen like what his bio was about, seen a website that he was like articles that he was linking to, seen that he had like chronic back problems and was like out of work and like an ex, he was a veteran and like, you know, read about him, said like, hey, love coming to you, sucks when you have back problems. And then he replied, yeah, thanks, it really sucks, like, sorry I lashed out, I'm just having I'm in a lot of pain at the moment.
Oh my God.
She says, like, no worries, we all have bad days, doesn't bother me, I'm really rich, or something, like, dismissed. Yeah, she was like, I couldn't give a shit, dude. She was just, like, really cool about it, and it wasn't even, like, she just was so genuine in it. And
that,
then,
in a microcosm, is exactly how we need
exactly
to be.
Exactly how we need to address things. She screenshotted it, and then was like, anybody in San Francisco can help this guy out? Then some, like, medical guy was like, hey, I've got a back clinic if you want to come and see me. And then, like, it was just,
this is like,
just,
I might cry.
It was like, oh, my God. Like, everybody comes, everybody's pain, everybody, when everyone lashes out, everything comes from a place. It's a camel made of straw.
Yeah, and it's fear, and it's
yeah. And so go and look at what those straws are that made that person break.
And yeah, and you might not be able to find those straws so readily as Sarah Silverman did in that example. But know that they're there.
I bet if you read just a few of the things that people are tweeting when they're just literally shouting into the ether, you're like, I can recognize.
Yeah, and in a lot of these trolls don't have any followers, and they're just shouting. They feel like they're unimportant, and they feel like they're worthless. It's like that great Louis Theroux documentary about wild dogs, and the dogs are actually just scared and frightened and never got any love, so they bite because they are frightened. They don't bite because they want to kill you. They only really bite because they're frightened. And I think that I always think about that, because it's like, yeah, people, I do that when I'm frightened about something, or I'm scared, or I feel like I'm not getting anywhere, I'll snap. I really do that. And you see that in other people, and you just take it at face value of like, you're snapping at me, you're horrible. They're bringing so much more stuff to the table that you don't know about. Now, obviously it's horrible to be called a C word, but to go that one step deeper is amazing. Like, I would never think to do that. I'd just be like,
yeah, 100%. You'd be like, block, gone. Block, oh, horrible,
gone.
Horrible man.
I hope that helped anyone listening, just to refresh, like, just like ways in which you can tackle how to talk about it. I think we're not saying like feminism is this or feminism is that. We're just literally being like, this is hopefully, here are some tools that you can use to, when you're having a conversation, it doesn't end with you literally on the ceiling spitting at people, yelling, I hate men, because that is, we've all been down there sometimes.
Yeah.
And I have to stop myself.
How to not let the conversation end in a row. Like, how to make sure it's compassionate and it tries, and everybody tries to learn something from it.
And then if you do all those things and it still ends in an argument, look, you've tried.
You gave it your best shot, and there's nothing you can do.
It's an emotive topic. Yeah. And it's an emotive topic, and it is going to cause arguments. And that's not anyone's fault. It's actually, all arguments are better than not talking about this, because we didn't talk about it for hundreds of years and no one argued about it, but it was bad. So it's great that we're all arguing and we're all on the ceiling spitting. If you have any thoughts about it, please do get in touch. Tweet me at Stevie M. The S is a 5.
At Tessa Coates, all letters, classic letters.
Or drop us an email if you want to go into more depth.
We would love to get into depth with you.
I just would love to get into the depth.
If you don't agree,
if you don't agree, or
if we've said anything, and we probably have, because we're talking about a lot of things here. If we've done it, said anything wrong, or like, call us out on it.
That's kind of what I mean. If you have any thoughts on it, in terms of like what you said there was problematic, or what I, because we're learning, and I consistently am hot and sweaty talking about it. So, but the only way we're ever going to progress is if people talk about it while they're hot and sweaty, rather than being hot and sweaty and just staying in the bedroom and not talking about it because they're frightened.
Stevie's out here on the front line.
I'm on the front line.
Dripping in sweat.
Riddled with bacteria. Just talking about intersectionality within feminism.
Yes.
Learning, which is high fives.
Yes.
Yes, have a lovely week. and may you never be mansplained to.
Bye.
Bye.